Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. We'll still got a little time. We'll try to get to your text, but if you want to get a late text in, it's 251-343-0106. So joining us now, we do this every week. I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest, our returning champion. He hails from Josephine, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful day in Baldwin County.
Hey, well, it's every day is a beautiful day in Baldwin County compared to where I'm at today, I guess. Do you miss Montgomery?
No, not at all. Not at all. We had spent most of the morning up here with our new friends at Novellus at their groundbreaking for their $3 billion capital investment they're making up here at the long-touted mega site in Bay Minette.
Well, let's talk about that while we can. Obviously, the big announcement, several weeks ago, but how did that go this morning? What are you anticipating there?
Well, you know, a great company that is very diversified in its product line. Novellus is the leader in aluminum recycling and cold mill or cold roll milling in the world. And they really do things from everything from car parts to airplane parts to Coke bottles and beer cans or Coke cans and beer cans. I mean, they do it all, and their products are clean, and they are really, really looking forward to being here in Bay Minette. It does a lot to diversify the economy here in Baldwin County. You know, I was on the commission right after the BP oil spill, and one of the things we were concerned about was really diversifying our economy so that we weren't quite as dependent on our tourism folks and quite as dependent on our home building sector. And this is a big step in the right direction to make sure that we've got a diversified economy in Baldwin County with this advanced manufacturing that plugs into other industries here in the county.
I mean, it's really kind of a wealth of riches. Well, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but the diversity of the economy, because people think Baldwin County, you think tourist economy, maybe you think bedroom community for Mobile or things like that, but this is a kind of an overused term, a game changer, if you will, for the different prongs of the economic philosophy, right?
Well, it is, and it's generational change. A facility like this, we haven't had a facility this large built in the United States that does this in the last 50 years. A facility like this really is and does represent generational change. We will have grandchildren of our children that are able to work at this facility with good, high-paying jobs. You know, 1,000 additional jobs in North Baldwin County, which frankly could use some additional investment, will be incredibly beneficial to the county as a whole, the region as a whole, and absolutely a game changer for Bay Minette.
Well, and then, you know, you look at places like that. That's the part of the county that if there's room for expansion, it's the northern half of Baldwin County, and this seems to be kind of going in that direction.
No question, and it's the vision of former commission's Economic Development Alliance Director Lee Lawson, who really has spearheaded this over the years, that have really just done a good job staying the course. And, of course, this commission, Commissioner Ball, Commissioner Underwood, Commissioner Davis, now McKenzie, and Commissioner Gruber have just seen this across the line to make sure that this dream came true, and it is here. And $3 billion, just, you know, it is one of the largest investments, capital investments in the state in recent history. I mean, it outshadows a lot of the big ones we talk about. And the good news, again, is the diversification of their products. It's not just a car. It's not just an airplane. Not to take anything away from either one of those, but it's the pieces and parts that go in all of those, from a Coke can all the way up to an airplane and a vehicle. It's very diversified, and it'll be here for a while.
Well, where does this line up with other, you know, we need these big announcements over the last 10, 15, 20 years? I mean, you hear like Mercedes-Benz or Hyundai or the Toyota Mazda or whatever. I mean, is it in that realm of impact?
It is at the top or exceeding those announcements. when you look at capital expense. Now, the some of those areas had more jobs than will be coming associated with this one, but as far as high-paying jobs, longevity of those jobs, really insurance against market shifts based on the diversification of the product, and again, the CapEx, it's right at or exceeding some of the largest economic development announcements we've seen in this state.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, let's move to matters of the Alabama legislature. Into the fiscal year, Governor Ivey put out a statement. She's going to have some kind of tax rebate proposal she's going to offer up. Not that it takes the governor to move on something like this, but she also dismissed any kind of tax cuts. How do you feel about that? Do you think that the governor has given the right signal here?
Well, listen, I'm in favor of tax rebates, and I will absolutely vote in favor of tax rebates. The state of Alabama has taken in more money this past year than it has historically, really record revenues. A lot of that is federal stimulus money or the result of federal stimulus money on a lot of different fronts, trickling down through the economy and then showing up in tax revenues later on. I do think we're in store for an economic slowdown, and I do think there are merits in the arguments to not do long-lasting tax cuts, if you will. Unfortunately, I am one of those guys who is of the opinion that government will spend absolutely every last nickel you give it. And I do think targeted tax cuts are a way to go, as opposed to simply the one-time rebate. I'm in the tax cut camp for sure. I wish that the governor had simply said we're in favor of tax rebates and let's see what we can do as far as tax cuts, permanent tax cuts. I wish he hadn't drawn that line in the sand, but that is up to the legislature at the end of the day, and the legislature will be making that decision. You've got a number of the budget chairmen who are certainly in favor of rebates and have not necessarily come along on the tax cut standpoint, but I'm in favor of tax cuts. We've got the money to do it. I think now's the time to do it. There is a way to do it that is fiscally responsible and conservative, and I think we need to continue to look at that.
Yeah, and listen, we had one of your colleagues on, Senator Stutz, on, but that's what he said. This that the way you reduce the size of government, you got to reduce the flow of money, but the flow of money continues to increase, and that's good. You got a good system in ways that keeps a fiscally sound situation, but the fear, I guess, for a lot of us is that it's also contributing to the growth of government, the growth of state government. So, that necessarily don't want to starve the beast, or maybe that is the extreme, but instead of when we have all this extra cash, there's always going to be that there's always going to be that tendency or idea that we could do something else with this money that's just going to grow the size of government.
Maybe we don't need to starve the beast, but we sure could stand to put it on a diet. And I think that's probably where we need to go. We could, because of, again, the largesse that's there, stem the growth of government by trimming it. It doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing type of thing. It doesn't the starvation word gets used a lot. It's not that. It's just let's put state government on a diet. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing at all. These increased tax revenues are across all sectors. We needed additional money for roads and infrastructure in Alabama. I'm glad we have that additional funding. But most of the cash we're seeing coming in now is not going to roads. It's not going to infrastructure. It's going to a lot of different things, including a huge surplus in the education trust fund budget. And I think that when we look at working families who are seeing increased costs month over month of $700 or more a month, to just make it, we have got to figure out how to do some targeted tax cuts that help alleviate what working families are going through on a day-to-day basis. Our responsibility is to our constituents, not to the state government. And that's what I think we need to remember as legislators.
Right. And that is, and tell me this, Senator, but looking at all this federal money coming in to give it to the states and, the budget chairman, Chairman Klaus and Greg Allbritton have both said this, this is one-time money. We need to make sure this is one-time and very targeted. But even with having to spend that money, there's still that growth of government. You're not going to have that money, so you got to roll that back. I mean, is that a concern?
It is a concern. I mean, if you look at – if you look at what the one-time money does, we have worked very hard to make sure that it is spent in a way that is a one-time expenditure. And I will give my colleagues credit for that. They are working very hard to make sure we don't over-obligate ourselves annually to something that we know is going, you know, that gravy train's going to run out. And I'm not one of those that suggests, oh, we ought to just say, no federal government, we don't want this money. They'll just send it to California or somewhere else. But we do need to remain focused on making sure that it stays as a one-time expense, that it does not grow government as a whole. The problem with that is when that money gets spent in the economy, it generates tax revenue. And that tax revenue comes back into the general fund and the education trust fund, and that grows organically the size of government. And that's where a targeted tax cut can keep that at bay.
Well, so this is interesting to me, and I probably have talked to you about this in the past, but I've been bringing this up with a lot of the guests. It is the SSUT, and kind of the, I mean, it was something I think that leveled the playing field with the brick and mortar locations in this state and online sales. But the projections have been way, way under what has actually come in. And is there room to, like, correct that and give you guys in the legislature a better idea when it comes for budgeting? Or was that maybe by design to kind of keep it from, you know, I don't know, going over or spending every last dime? But that seems to be where a lot of the surpluses, aside from the federal money coming in because of COVID, but a lot of the surpluses seem to be a result of the SSUT bringing in more money than was anticipated.
So prior to 2010, the Democrats did two things. One, they overbudgeted. They spent more than projected revenues, and we ended up in proration. Two, they overestimated what the revenues were going to be so that they could have more to spend, and then they blew that projection as well. What Republicans have done since then is twofold. One, don't spend everything you have to spend. Don't spend all of your revenues that you're projecting. And two, be very conservative in your revenue projections. So my suggestion is that those revenue projections being low are by design, and that the budgets being under what the projections are by design. And that's a good thing. It also means that we end up with significant surpluses that we can invest back into rainy day funds, that we can invest back into rolling reserves. We can do those types of things that are good conservative fiscal management for the state. The issue is, Jeff, we've done that. And now what? We continue to see these surpluses. And that means, okay, you've got the state in great financial shape. We have weathered a pandemic flawlessly because of good conservative leadership of Republicans. Now it's time to give that back to the people. Tax revenue is not there to be saved. Yes, you need to have a cushion, but it is not there to fill up a savings account with. It should be returned to the people who work hard to make that revenue on a daily basis and are trying to raise their family.
Senator, just a few more minutes here, and I don't expect that you'll wade into this too much, but this the one that won't go away, the bridge down in Orange Beach or Gulf Shores, wherever, somewhere there's got to be a new bridge, and it looks like there's some an emotional dust up that's playing out on AL.com, but do you anticipate that to settle down and us getting some clarity on that situation soon?
No. It's the short answer.
Well, okay.
This is a complicated issue. It is one that needs to be dealt with countywide, corridor-wide. It has been on the table for a number of different years. I am particularly proud that ALDOT has and the governor's office has recognized a need for increased lanes on and off the island. That's a plus, and that's a good thing. I am pleased that we were able to secure state funding in the state transportation improvement plan in order to move additional lane, you know, the actual implementation of a construction project that puts additional lanes on off the island at Ford. That's good. That's part of what I'm supposed to do, and that's my job, and we've gotten that done. But I do think at some point we've got to look at this corridor wide. We've got to look at the needs of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, as well as Foley and Summerdale and Robertsdale and Loxley and Bay Minette, that entire corridor as we go all the way up. And I will tell you that I give Director Cooper credit. He has gotten the bridge company from a negotiation standpoint farther than anybody ever thought he would be able to get them. Their last offer was free tolls for, you know, free passage on that bridge for everybody in Baldwin County, if you're a resident of Baldwin County. That's a huge concession. The problem is, in order to capitalize on that, you got to actually take the deal. So I think, you know, I would hope that there's still additional opportunity for negotiation. My big concern, Jeff, is that the current project that has been let, and they're looking at now on awarding the bid, really is an incomplete project. It starts on Canal Road and it dumps onto County Road 4, and anybody that travels that knows you've got to have the connector roads to go with this bridge. If the state is committed to spending an additional $30 million to make this entire, you know, that entire project flow and actually be successful, then great. If they're not, then I really do think we need to see if the bridge company will reengage and see if we can get them to build additional lanes on their bridge at no cost to the taxpayers, take them up on their deal of free tolls for everybody in Baldwin County. It is my hope that this is not something that's done with yet. Because I do think that the likelihood of all of this getting mired up into court conversations and lawsuits means that nothing happens. And if that happens, we all lose.
Senator, we've got to leave it there, but we always appreciate your time every week. Y'all can hear him about 11:30 or so on FM Talk 106.5. But let's talk again soon.
Great to be with you. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. State Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.